It seems like there wasn't a day this year that we didn't hear something about immigration, from policy changes like Remain in Mexico to stories about deaths and dismal conditions at detention centers. 2019 was a significant year in immigration news. We wanted to take a look at one of the major developments, the change to the asylum process. And for that, we have with us Muzaffar Chitthi, director of the Migration Policy Institute at New York University School of Law. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start with one of the more gripping stories of the year. The biggest outcry was over the treatment of unaccompanied minors or children separated from the adults they arrived to the country with. Upwards of 70,000 this year. That's actually a record. And then there were the changes to the Flores Agreement, which limits the amount of time they can be held, 20 days. What is the status of the limits on how long children can be held now?
When the Flores settlement was agreed to, it was supposed to be followed by regulations issued by the government which would implement the agreement. It is true that the government over the years has chosen not to issue any regulations implementing that till the Trump era.
Mm.
It was this year in the summer of this year that the Trump administration finally said, we're going to issue those regulations. And under the regulations, they wanted to increase the flexibility they would have for keeping the kids longer than 20 days and in places which do not necessarily meet with state requirements for licensing, state licensing requirements for keeping kids. And they argue in the reg that they issued that federal licensing for keeping kids should comply with the requirements of the Flores Agreement. That regulation was quickly challenged before Judge Dolly G in Central District in California, who's been supervising the agreement, and she issued an injunction in September, basically ruling that the regulation does not meet the requirements of the Flores Agreement, so therefore Flores Agreement stays in place.
Mm-hmm. This is definitely a story that we'll be continuing to follow throughout 2020 and beyond, I'm sure. Another big story was the number of immigrants entering through asylum or through refugee status. And I want to first ask you, we're going to delve deeper into this, but what changes have we seen this year in the way migrants have typically been able to come to the country?
So 2019, I think, will go down as the year when we started dismantling the modern asylum system as we know it.
Mm.
There really is no other way of putting it. I think one should point out that the president had made immigration obviously a central focus of his campaign, and the wall as a particular focus of that. I think what happened is that he really believes that he got elected on the narrative of building the wall. But when he showed up in the office, he realized that wall was essentially outdated for the kind of pressures of migration we're facing today, that people are not coming to the border who are single Mexicans sneaking through the border, for which wall would be a solution. That's not the phenomenon of today. The phenomenon of today are families fleeing from Central America, openly seeking a border patrol officer, asking him or her for asylum in the United States.
So you're saying he realized that there was a different reality there. And so so much of what we're seeing really is the implications of him really finding out that it was not, as you said, a wall that would fix this. It was something that was much, much different than this and much more complex.
Exactly. It was a different flow of people, which is not what he had run on. It just is the reality hit you the moment you have to implement what you said. And therefore, he said, my God, so these people are all applying for asylum. So we have to do something to blunt the magnet of asylum. So we did a number of things. First, we approached Mexico to say that, look, you really should be controlling your southern border and your northern border to prevent large number of people reaching the southwest border. Just straight ask from one government to the other. The second thing we did right in the beginning of 2019, I think in January of 2019, we started implementing something called migration protocols, popularly called Remain in Mexico. And we said, sure, if you arrive at our southern border and you apply for asylum, we will give you an asylum hearing for some time in the future. But during that time, you'll wait in Mexico. That's what's called the Remain in Mexico program. And obviously, that people thought would act as a deterrent from people coming to the southwest border.
Yeah.
That program has been in effect since January, and about 56,000 odd people have been sent back to Mexico under that program.
Right, and what we're seeing now is camps of folks because of that protocol that are in Matamoros who are just in limbo. They're just in place there because they've been sent back and they don't want to go to their home countries or go back to their home countries.
Exactly. And after the MPP, the second most important development in demolishing the modern asylum system and the most far-reaching is that in July of this year, the administration issued a new rule saying that if you show up at the southwestern border seeking asylum, but if you have come through a transit country, then you should have applied for asylum in that country and had been denied, and only then are you eligible to apply for asylum. Now, you don't have to be an immigration lawyer to know that almost everyone other than a Mexican national who shows up at our southwest border has come through another transit country, which is Mexico. So it basically says that if you transited through Mexico, you should have applied for asylum in Mexico. And only then, if they denied it, would you be eligible even. That essentially disqualifies almost everyone other than Mexican nationals from applying for asylum in the United States. And that rule was challenged very quickly. And that went to the Supreme Court very quickly. And this year in September, Supreme Court allowed the rule to go ahead. So the transit country rule now is one of the most important tools that the government has in its hands to deny even eligibility to a large number of people seeking asylum in the United States.
Is this indefinite?
Well, it's indefinite till the next administration changes it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, this is why I think it hasn't gotten that much public attention, that this is the most significant development. The third most important development in asylum in 2019 is that in addition to the Remain in Mexico and the transit country rule, is that the administration had signed agreements with three Central American countries, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. These are called asylum cooperation agreements. They're not called safe third country agreements, which our statute allows. And under these agreements, if anyone shows up at the southwest border, we can send them. Instead of allowing them to apply for the asylum in the United States, we can send them to any of these countries where they can seek asylum. Mm. So if a Honduran, instead of being returned to Honduras, can be sent to Guatemala and ask him or her to apply for asylum there. Again, this is another front which we have opened to diminish the number of people that are even eligible to apply for asylum at our southwest border.
What will you be watching for in 2020?
So in 2020, we will be watching an extremely important Supreme Court decision regarding the Dream Kids. The terminology for this is the DACA program, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It will rule on that case in probably in the spring or the summer of 2020. It will come smack in the middle of a very charged political season of election. And so whichever way the Supreme Court rules, it's going to become a very important new point of discussion in the elections in 2020.
That's Muzaffar Chithi, Director of the Migration Policy Institute Office at New York University School of Law. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.